Welcome once again to American Exposé, listeners. I do see this information about Bush and Cheney indicted. Very interesting. I do know that this implementation of Agenda 21 is 13 years into place, and most people don't know a thing about it. And that is very, very amazing. Ray Cuneo, Citizens, he's the president of Citizens for Private Property Rights. He's with us today. He's out of Missouri. The metering of water wells is well underway, isn't it, Ray?
Well, yeah, it is, or would have been here in the state of Missouri if we hadn't got a law from last year repealed, for the most part. It was underway here until we got that accomplished. However, having said that, down in Texas, it's underway there in the Trinity watershed. I did a program here a few months ago, on another station about that issue, and the whole issue of groundwater and water metering down there is a big issue. The state of Minnesota is their legislature. I haven't checked on it recently, but here a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago, the Minnesota legislature had a very onerous piece of legislation that was moving forward that would have, in essence, just controlled all water use up there. And when you control water use, you control people and people's property. So here in Missouri, there was a bill that slipped through, became law in 1984, and kind of by accident, some people discovered it and contacted some my organization, other property rights organization in southern Missouri, and we got to work on it and exposed it, had public meetings, created quite a stir in the legislature and in the governor's office in Jefferson City, which is the capital of Missouri. And long story short, we worked about 3 or 4 months on it, and fortunately we got 99% of it repealed, which is not a small feat when you consider if you start looking at the issue of how difficult it is to fight a bill or support a bill that's proposed for a new law. When you look at the issue of trying to take a law that's on the books and get it repealed, I won't say it's next to impossible because we did it, but it's very difficult.
Well, and that's the point of getting everyone involved, isn't it?
Absolutely. And Chris, I think, you know, you bring up a good point there, because we could not have done this without the power and the backing of the people. I mean, the average Joe Blow citizen out on the street and getting him informed and getting him activated to the point where he was ready to go ride his representative or senator out of town on a rail. And I mean, that's how upset people in Missouri, in rural Missouri, was over this issue. And it wasn't going to go away until the legislature and the governor addressed this issue. Now, you say, what was the issue? The issue, basically, yes, water well metering could have come into play the way the statute was written at some point in the future. That was not an initial thing. Our initial concern was that this here water bill, as they call it, would have established watershed improvement districts by watershed, which would have overlapped multi-jurisdictional areas, in other words, county boundaries, town boundaries, what have you, and would have had the authority to usurp or to sidestep the authority of local government. In other words, you would have had an appointed council or commission that would have been in charge of land use management in terms of water use and water quality by watershed, not by county or local government.
See how big this is getting, listeners, and how big it is, and how many people don't understand anything about it, and why I'm so concerned about all of us and our situations. We'll be back to continue. Take your phone calls, 800-313-9443. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. I'm Chris Gerner. We call this American Exposé. You can also go to stopagenda21.com. You can promote that as well, listeners. Stopagenda21.com. That's another website to get to our Agenda 21 section. If you'd like to make a donation to keep this network operational, which is very, very important, and it's a long-term goal that we have here, 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. That's the number to call to make a donation during this broadcast. Tell them Chris sent you and you enjoy the information, not enjoy it, but you're appreciative of what you're receiving here, the information that I'm giving and we're giving, Ray and myself and others that have been on, Sam and Tim and others. That number, once again, to donate, 800-724-2719. We have a full board, Ray. Let's take Jeff in Massachusetts. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, yes, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Now, as far as communism is concerned, one of the trademarks of communism is no private property.
Right.
So with that said, I'm going to get into the into the inner city angle of this, which is low to moderate income housing. I really believe that the government wants to stick all the people in projects and eliminate all forms of all forms of private property, and this is where Agenda 21 comes in. And Upper Massachusetts is nearly impossible to own private property because the prices are so high.
Ray, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, I sure do. And I think my concept there is the sustainable community portion of sustainable development, which, as I said earlier, which basically my belief is that it says that you push people into, over a period of years, you push them more and more into the urban areas, shove them in, stack them up, my words, okay? And, and of course, you depopulate, if you will, rural America to accomplish the other end of the agenda, as far as land use, which is the Wildlands Project. But I concur 100% about more and more people being forced to stay in the urban areas, what is called the sustainable communities. As I said earlier, I sat on a local planning and zoning board for 12 years. And I know that the American Planning Association, which is a big promoter of sustainable development, their concept is constantly trying to get local county government and cities to make it tougher and tougher for people to move out and have their own property. They want to shove them in and give them little parcels, not give them parcels, but force them into either public housing or in very high density residential areas.
So, Jeff,
yes.
Your comments are well taken.
Well, yes, and I'm going to close with another fact, which is another ringer to that, which is there is an incentive for landlords to have this low to moderate income housing, which actually jacks the rent up. The government pays 3/4 of the rent for low to moderate income housing, and it favors minorities, by the way. And that's how you get these high-priced ghettos, and people shake their head on why rents are going up so high. And with that note, I'll let you guys comment on that.
Well, the only thing is,
Darren,
it's been some time since I reviewed the HUD documents, but there were some HUD documents along that very same line that came out, and Chris, forgive me, but I think it was in 1998 or 99. They were quite revealing in terms of what HUD was trying to do in terms of inner-city housing and promoting their aspect of sustainable development.
Well, I'm so happy that we've connected to you. Ray, you're very versed on all of this, and this is what we need, is people that have had these experiences in their states conversing with all the other states of the country, as this is an international broadcast. Agenda 21 is to be implemented in every U.N. country of the world. It's
right.
Well in place. And let's move on to Vicki in Idaho. The number to call, 800-313-9443. Vicki, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I wanted to tell you about Globe Schools. I don't know if you've heard of those or not, but there's 170 of them in Idaho, and apparently they're all over the country. And what they are supposedly is science-based education. But what they use these kids for is to collect information on the soil, air, plant, and animal life in the area where they are, and all this information is sent back to the UN.
Mm.
And you can find information on this program on www.globe.gov.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, they're using these kids to produce maps of our local areas, including, you know, our infrastructure.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's an interesting comment, because you heard me mention early in the program about this local major initiative called the Pacific Ring here in the St. Louis area, Pacific Ring Initiative, which is supposed to be held up as a national, international example of sustainable development. And one thing that they are promoting early on here is, now they're not using, elementary school kids or high school kids, but they are using graduate students from the university to come out and tromp over private property using GPS systems and recording all types of environmental data. That's one of their first legs in this whole sustainable development initiative in the local St. Louis area here.
Well, that's exactly the same program, but they're also using primary and secondary school kids.
Sure, sure. That doesn't surprise me. And kind of along that same vein, not necessarily the education, but we have what we call screen teams, which are here in the state of Missouri. Every screen that's floatable has a screen team, which is nothing more than private organizations, but the state and federal land use agencies and environmental agencies coordinate with those screen teams to monitor and turn in water sampling and anything that they feel like is degrading or damaging the stream or its adjacent areas.
Yeah, well,
so it's kind of along that same vein, you know, take a look and snitch and tell us what you see.
That's exactly what this is. So go to
right.
this website, www.globe.gov, and
right.
and they have everything there, including the data that they send back to the UN.
Wonderful, Vicki. I thank you so much for that information.
Okay, thank you.
Very vital information. Thank you, Vicki. Keep in mind Chapter 25 of Agenda 21, Children and Youth in Sustainable Development, and Chapter 40, Information for Decision Making. All connecting dots to what Vicki just talked about. Ray's well aware of all this. Let's move to you in Tennessee. 800-313-9443. You, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I think you made it too hard on Jim in Texas.
Oh, more than likely. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Jim. I'll make a public apology. I do apologize. I'm just very frustrated about so little knowledge about Agenda 21 that's going on today. And President Bush is not going to talk about Agenda 21, is he?
Probably not, but you didn't give Jim a thing about a solution for anything.
Well,
we've got problem, but I don't hear anything much about a solution.
Well, first of all, we've got to get out of the Federal Reserve System. That's a solution.
Well,
and there is legislation.
You need to be telling people how we're going to do it.
How about supporting Ron Paul's H.R. 1148 out of the Federal Reserve Board? That's first of all. H.R. 1146 out of the United Nations. That's what needs to be done.
Okay, now who's listening or who's going to do it?
Who's listening or who's going to do it? I don't know who's listening. Do you know who's listening?
No, but I'm paying attention.
I'll tell you what, you. Let me throw one on you. What do you know about Agenda 21 in Tennessee?
I don't know a lot.
Well, there's the big point in the problem. Agenda 21 is 13 years into operation. It doesn't matter who's the president. The president doesn't do a thing. He sits back and does what he's told. Did you know that the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund of the U.N.?
No, there's a lot that I don't know, but...
We don't have a Treasury anymore, and yet we're worried about the next president doing the right thing that this president isn't doing. We have our sons and daughters and fathers and mothers going over to the Middle East dying for the U.N. system under the guise of the coalition. You think that's going to stop with the next president?
Yeah, but you left the impression that no matter what we do, everything's going to go on just like it is.
It is going to go on unless we get enough people in our country to wake up and
That's
understand.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, a solution.
There you go.
Right.
We're talking about solutions right now, aren't we, Ray?
Yeah, and you, I think, along that line, I understand your frustration, but I think along that line, and this is something that we in my organization, and I'm sure Chris and everybody, Chris certainly does his part, and other people around the country, is to try to bring this information to people so that they, and it is very complex, it is very difficult to understand many times, and it's frustrating to try to figure out what to do, but you've got to, people have got, the public has got to educate themselves so that they can bring this issue forward. It's going to have to take a massive march by the people to their government and say, we do not want any part of this system. And I think that, at least speaking for myself, that's what we've been trying to do for 13, 14 years on sustainable development, longer than that on property rights issues, is to try to educate the public. And as you heard me say earlier about this water issue here in Missouri, we took and got a law repealed. Repealed. That is a difficult task, but I'm not going to take credit for it, or any of my counterparts that I worked with in property rights leadership here in Missouri. The people that really get the credit is that we got enough people educated and upset that they said, we will not settle for anything less than that, less than repeal. So I think it's not something you're going to accomplish overnight. It's an ongoing process. You've got to communicate with your neighbors as to what's going on. Tell them to educate themselves. Listen to programs like Chris. Get the materials. Get the books. And educate yourself.
You know, I appreciate your phone call, and I understand your frustration. I once again apologize to Jimmy, but if you go to my website, you'll know why I'm frustrated, listeners. It's all there on AmericanExpose.com. Stay with us. All right, listeners, welcome back to the broadcast. I feel everyone's frustration. I do. I've been feeling it all my life. But going after this president is just going to bring another one in place to continue this Federal Reserve operation and the implementation of the IMF-UN agenda that we all live today. Agenda 21 is the major problem at this point in time. Will you disagree with me or agree with me, Ray, on this?
One is set up to completely restructure this whole country as we have known it from top to bottom, economically, socially, culturally, everything. And it's in play. It's far down the line. It's far penetrated into every community. And as I said before, it's being implemented on an incremental basis, very slowly, very methodically. And people are going to be, if they're not already, enslaved by this whole thing, and our country will lose everything that it was created for and stood for.
Now, Agenda 21 is the plan for all of us, every one of us, in the 21st century, right?
Absolutely. And of course, as you pointed out earlier, Agenda 21 is the master world plan for that accomplishment. Of course, the U.S. is part of that, is the president or the sustainable development. That's our Agenda 21 here in this country. And as I mentioned earlier, the President's Council, meaning President Clinton at the time, his Office of Presidential Sustainable Development put out 11 task force reports, and I'm taking this from memory here, don't have it in front of me, but I mean it covered everything from eco-efficiency to agriculture to education to consensus building to it went on and on. 11 different task force that probably each one had an accompanying report, which was published in 1995, I believe, 95 or 96. I have all 11 of them. And if you take the time and digest all of that, which most people can't or won't, I'm not even sure that the reports are available any longer from the printing office. But the fact is, if you read those, there's not one aspect of your life that's not addressed in there and how they're going to change it.
Is there a way for us to get those reports? Do you know?
You know, I don't know, and that's a good question, Chris. I just did a speech Saturday on sustainable development on this Pacific Ring. I was asked that same question, and I should have been prepared for it because I'm not even sure that those reports, I don't know whether they're available online. I don't know whether they're available in print from the U.S. printing office.
I
but
see.
That's something I need to find out.
Well, we'll work on that, and hopefully we'll get we can connect with some titles and maybe research those titles when we're off the air. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, we can do that, and I can get the ISBN numbers or whatever, and you know, it shouldn't take much to call a printing office if that's available either in print or online, you know.
Very, very good. Very positive directions here, listeners. Ray Cuneo is our guest. He's the president of Citizens for Private Property Rights in Missouri. Let's take Mike in Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show, Mike.
Glad you got to, man. I'm about to run out of time. Are you familiar with Norm Davis of Take Back Kentucky?
Oh, boy.
It's been some years since I talked to him, but he and I got involved. I can't remember. I think it was over the Biosphere Reserve.
Well, yeah, the Biosphere Reserve program is what I was going to bring up. And,
right.
That is also, it's a UN and U.S.
Yes.
program. And, of course, I've seen, you know, some people don't want to believe it, but it's routed into, like, the Great Smoky Mountains and different places.
Oh, sure.
Into the signs. It'll tell you right on the sign. It's a biosphere, International Biosphere Reserve.
Yes.
Right.
And you guys have got the maps for that on AmericanExpose.com that were originally, the American Land Rights Organization, Dr. Michael Kaufman, and some of those guys that put up the simulated maps. Now, as far as the, like, nominating a river, and that's all, the presidential decision directives are all still in place, aren't they? They haven't been rescinded?
I don't know. You're referring to the American Heritage Rivers Program?
Yeah, where you can get a bunch of people together and nominate a river and have it river czar.
Right. That came under the Clinton administration. We fought that tooth and nail, and some rivers were designated.
The Mississippi was
The upper Mississippi.
The upper Mississippi was designated, and that was
You're
one
right.
of the things that he did by, I guess, decision directive or whatever.
Right.
Sounds like a way around executive order for some reason, but
the Missouri, they were after the Missouri River, and we fought tooth and nail and got that killed. They were also after a whole variety of other streams. They got many of them, particularly around the urban and large metropolitan areas in the east. Others they did not. So as to whether that program is available today or not, I don't know.
Well, if, you know, getting back into UNESCO is any indication, I mean, at least, you know, that was one thing Clinton, I think, tried to get us out of, and then Bush has put us back in it.
I don't think Clinton tried to get us out of UNESCO.
Well,
I don't think Clinton would ever have anything to do with getting us out of UNESCO. I really don't. I think
it
might have been Ronald Reagan's administration that did that.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Bush put us back in it, didn't he? I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah,
we can't count on him getting us out of any of this. And,
no.
And to that previous caller who was talking about solutions, I mean, that's what we're doing right here is trying to tell people about it. I mean, without the knowledge for people even to go look for it, I mean,
let me say something. People like yourself, on a local basis, that has some basic knowledge in this, and I know this takes time, believe me, because it's been 17 years and many, many hours and miles of my time and dollars.
Mike?
But it takes local community leaders to bring this to the people. Not elected people, but people like yourself.
There you go. Way to go, Ray. We'll be back to continue with your phone calls. 800-313-9443. Thank you, Mike, for your input.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. The donation line is open for you and your donations to keep this operation in place. 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. Before we move on, and Mike in Kentucky, we're going to get Norm Davis back on, as he's been a regular guest on my broadcast. Any comments, Ray, before we move on?
No, Mike had touched on this Biosphere Reserve thing, and I want to point out that the real Agenda 21, there was two elements to it. There was the Agenda 21, which really addressed the social, economic goals for the One World, and the biodiversity assessment addressed the land use and natural resource issues. And that's how the UN Biosphere concept for the United States team into play. A lot of people don't realize there are 47, as we speak, 47 UN-designated biosphere reserves in the United States and 21 UN heritage sites.
Yes, yes.
And in fact, the Cahokia Mounds back, I went to Congress in 1996 and testified before a House committee on the proposed Ozark Man in the Biosphere. And, of course, we got it stopped, but there was, I took with me, as an example of what was going on, a picture of the flag, UN flag, flying above the U.S. flag over Cahokia Mounds, which was and still is a UN heritage site. So my point being is there's two elements to the Agenda 21, International Agenda 21. It is the sustain It's the sustainable development here and the biodiversity.
There you go. Well stated. 800-313-9443. Let's take Craig in Missouri. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Ray, do you know anything about a community improvement district is one question, and how do we get a hold of you?
Well, first of all, let's take the last one first. My number is 573-627-3219. Or 3328.
Oh,
that'd probably be the easiest way. I also have a fax, but probably just give me a call and be glad to get back to you.
I want to get some educational material here and start something here. I live in Missouri in Monette.
Oh, okay. Yeah. As far as community improvement district, not exactly sure. I know what you're talking about as far as the term. I've heard it used. I don't know if it's being promoted through your local town or through your local county. Or whether it's state legislature or state statutes involved. But I can assure you that community improvement districts contains elements and local goals for that contain sustainable development. I can rest assured there's not one state or federal document or agency that you deal with, even or for that matter local anymore hardly, that does not contain elements of sustainable development after this here being penetrated and incrementally applied for the last 13 years.
Okay. Can you
give me a call and give me more details, maybe I can give you more direction.
That number, once again, for Ray is 573-627-3219. That's 573-627-3219 or 3328. That's
correct.
3328.
Correct.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. 800-313-9443. Let's go to Clay in New Mexico. Welcome to the broadcast, Clay.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Okay.
I'm calling to co-sign a little bit on what you said to Jimmy in Texas.
Uh-huh.
I do understand sustainable development. I have gotten the videos from the last one, not just this one that just finished up, but 12 videos from the previous one that was in Reno. I don't know. I think this last one was in Reno also.
That was Freedom 21, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Freedom 21. Correct.
Uh-huh.
Very good videos. I know there is one shortened version, and I can't recall the name of that video, but I think that would be one video that someone might mention, and I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me, but it does have to do with sustainable development in Agenda 21. But the reason that I was calling was if I think that it would be huge news. It would be huge news to me if Bush and Cheney were indicted. The reason that I say that is because as a prosecutor, I'm not a prosecutor. I am an attorney, but I'm not a prosecutor. That could lead to all kinds of investigations of what has been happening in that administration.
I don't
including Agenda 21, including what the Congress has done, if the IMF and the Treasurer are the same fellow, then maybe that could be brought into the discovery process, and that there's plenty of places that a prosecutor could go if these guys were indicted. And I don't understand why you can't Maybe you do understand that, but Jimmy had some really relevant information.
Well, he wanted to. Here's the point now. He wanted to know my opinion about it. I hadn't researched it at all. But the point is, my drive is Agenda 21. The other shows are all going to talk about this today, aren't they, Craig?
No, this is Clay.
All right, Clay. The other shows are all going to talk about this, aren't they?
I'm sure that they will, but you have an opportunity there to discuss with Jimmy that maybe.
Yeah, but Clay, look.
An indictment, could it possibly lead to Agenda 21 information?
That's regardless of the problem. I have a guest here. In courtesy to the guest, I had to move on. And that's the way I operate with a talk show. I'm not gonna interfere with my guest coming on his time to talk about his direction and go about the Bush and his implications and his directions. As we've gone through all these past presidents, and certainly the Clinton administration, we heard Larry Nichols harp and harp about all these different directions that Bill Clinton's been doing all these years in the impeachment process, and yet Bill Clinton's about to be head of the World Bank, head of the IMF, head of the World Trade Organization, or even the new Secretary General of the UN system. He's already in charge of tsunami relief over there. What good did all that harping about Bill Clinton and his deceiving presidency do to changing anything in our country?
I don't believe the harping did much, and I know that he was being impeached, but there were totally...
He was impeached. He was impeached.
Right. He was impeached. There were totally different reasons for why he was impeached. If we want to tie this to your guest, let's maybe ask your guest if he thinks that if Bush and Cheney are indicted, is there any way that you could see that the Agenda 21 principles and manifestations and operations?
Oh, this is crazy. This is ridiculous.
Well, there's no way for a prosecutor
to get that.
Clay,
I'm not familiar with the indictment at all, so I couldn't comment on how this may or may not connect to Agenda 21. I'm sorry I can't help you out there, but this is the first I heard about the indictment, so I guess I'm behind the curve on it.
Now, here's the point, Clay, that not one mention of the State Department and the implementation of sustainable partnerships from the State Department. The State Department is influencing the U.N. system. They have the U.S. mission to the United Nations. The State Department stays in place regardless of what happens to President Bush. That is the big problem, and that is a major problem, Clay. I appreciate your call, and you can be as controversial as you want about this, but you've got to stay on track. The State Department implements the U.S. mission to the United Nations, listeners. The State Department is answerable to no one. Doesn't matter who's in presidency's place at the time. It doesn't matter who's there at this point in time. They'll just replace him with another yes man for Alan Greenspan and the Federal Reserve System, listeners.
Hey, Chris, can I
yes.
make a comment about the State Department?
Please.
And this biodiversity. You know, you heard me say that in 1996, the Ozarks, Missouri Ozarks, were targeted for a UN Biosphere Reserve. We fought that back. We defeated it. Interestingly enough, the United States Department of State paid a professor at the University of Missouri in charge of rural sociology $5,000 to investigate yours truly and other people that were actively involved in defeating that, as to who we were and why we were doing it and why we were opposed to it.
I wonder why.
That is a fact.
So, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. I mean, here the United States Department of State paid $5,000 to the Department of Rural Sociology of Missouri to find out who we are and why we were doing this.
Just
a side note.
Now, when I'm off the air, everybody's going to beat up on me for being hard on Jimmy. Well, okay, fine, go ahead. But the point is, I'm making points. The website speaks for itself. Darren and Dennis do the website. They understand the severity of the situation. They understand NAFTA, GATT, CAFTA, FTAA, which will be passed, you know, because they're just going to do it. More people getting engineered into understanding the big picture in place is the problem and the necessity in place. It's needed. So this is where I see it, listeners. Laurel in Missouri is the next caller. The call-in number, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Keep in mind the donation number to RBN 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. Welcome to the broadcast, Laurel.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Laurel.
How are you?
Fine. How you
Hot
doing?
Dry.
Good.
We're doing good.
Good.
I wanted to emphasize everybody getting involved in their grassroots effort, keeping their ears open and doing their homework.
You bet.
I was blessed to have Ray and Joyce Morrison and Wanda backing me up when I dealt with a scenic byway and also a watershed district.
Right.
And the facilitators are trained.
They sure are.
And Ray knows what they're going to even respond to your questions with.
Right.
So it knocked a couple of them on their rear ends at the watershed meeting we went to, the local one.
Sure.
So,
well, you're seeing this as a major direction that's going on where most don't. Isn't that correct, Laurel?
Yeah, from a rural perspective, agricultural perspective, and preserving our private property rights, yes.
Well, I'd like to compliment Laurel because if I recall, this has been some months back, maybe even last year, we talked about scenic byways, and we talked about watershed, and I think we discussed some different options and directions and things she needed to do. But Laurel is a typical example of what we need in every community. She had the wherewithal and the grit to get in there and the drive to take it on and try to find out what was going on and get information she needed to support it, to take it to people and confront these people that were trying to promote this. And what you do, and you're armed with the facts and the documents, it's hard for them, for example, on the scenic byways, it's hard for them to stand their ground against you.
Yeah, and what you also got to overcome, and the thing I came across on the scenic byway committee, it was older people who were trying to preserve their areas and preserve the money in their areas. They could see it was dying, and this was a way to get money. And just like one of the big politicians from Africa says, the worst thing we can get is grants, because all they do is concentrate on getting more grants and not learning to deal with their problems themselves.
Well, and that's one of the major pitfalls we have at the local level, is that state and federal and NGO grants are available, and unfortunately, far too many local officials are not educated on the threat that is hanging over them if they bite on this money, and they're under constant pressure to take this money. There's $50,000 grants, $25,000, $10,000, $5,000, $100,000, any way they can get the money, and once you take that money, you are obligated, once you take the money,
you're under their control.
You're under their control, absolutely.
So you have to fulfill the directives of sustainable development in Agenda 21, correct?
Take any issue. It could be a grant money for watershed. It could be a grant money for scenic byway. It could be a grant money for a local this or a local that. Let's take, like, FEMA, for example. You get grant money to implement certain hazard mitigation things. The problem is, along with the money and the packet where you sign, along with the money comes a packet maybe 2 or 3 inches thick. And most local government officials don't have the time or equipped to go through and say, we know what we have obligated ourselves to here by taking this $10,000, $50,000. They just sign the bottom line, throw the 2-inch packet of all the devil in the details document into the corner and say, we've got the money, to heck with it. And then all of a sudden, they have found out later, either they as elected officials or the ones that will follow later, that they have obligated to the county or the city something that is federally or state mandated because of that grant.
Amazing.
And it happens every day. It happens every day in every community. That is the most effective way of implementing sustainable development, is the whole grant process. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of other things the methodology, but the grant process is very effective.
Laurel, anything else?
Yeah. One thing, Ray, all the different names they use,
mm-hmm.
plus the terminologies that don't define the way they want you to think it defines. That's a very important thing people have to look into. And
there's words that have been in our dictionary for a long time, but that have new meaning. For example, go back 20 years ago, when you looked at any kind of state or federal document or anything, how many times, except in legal dictionaries, did you see stakeholders used? Now, everything you pick up, newspaper, whatever, everybody's a stakeholder. Our visioning processes, our collaborative agreements, memorandum of understanding, this is all new language out of, it's not new words, they've been in the dictionary, been in our vocabulary a long time, but their meaning and application is new.
Mm-hmm.
Well stated.
A free resource for anybody wanting to educate is Protecting Water Resources with Smart Growth. It's an EPA, United States Environmental Protection Agency catalog you can order.
That's correct. That's a good document.
What is it again?
Protecting Water Resources with Smart Growth. It's epa.gov/smartgrowth.
Yeah, I have that document, and that is one of the sustainable development documents by the EPA relating to the concept of smart growth and the issue of water. Water has become, don't get me wrong, we've got the Endangered Species Act, and we've got the invasive species, and we've got a whole host of federal and state regulations, many of which have been in place for a long time, and laws.
Mm-hmm.
But with the water issue is, in my opinion, going to be the tool, the major tool that government is going to use to control private property or to acquire private property in the United States. A drop of water will fall someplace in the United States in a watershed.
And that's
a watershed concept.
That's the entire global planet, isn't that correct?
Exactly. Right.
I appreciate your call, Laurel. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Laurel. Nice talking to you.
We'll be back to wrap it up with Regina and give out that direction, epa.gov/smartgrowth. That's epa.gov/smartgrowth. Stay with us. Listeners, we've been speaking to Ray Cuneo, president of Citizens for Private Property Rights in Missouri. Listeners, his number is 573-627-3219. That's 573-627-3219 or 3328. That's 3328. The donation number to the broadcast network, Republic Broadcasting Network, listeners, 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. This is vital information we're giving to you. The biggest secret in the world, Agenda 21, 13 years into implementation. The biggest secret in the world. Listeners, let's take Regina in Pennsylvania. Last caller. Welcome to the broadcast, Regina.
Thank you. I was wondering if we get an update on Stattmiller one of these days. I don't know if he's getting better and everything.
He was on live yesterday. He should be on live today.
So he is healing up then.
He's healing very well.
Good. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
We want to hold on to our abilities to be able to be healthy.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say here that I don't know why this group, and we have comprehensive plans in Pennsylvania, and I see where UNESCO was put in by Bush, and I really have a problem with this whole, kind of situation of cover over the... I can agree somewhat with the last caller, the man caller that called in, because I think that, even with the FTAA, we had a big movement against the CAFTA.
Yes.
FTA is not passed yet, and we better be very aware that, it's read the bums out who voted for it. But the problem is there's certain groups that put Bush in, and Bush is the man that gave us UNESCO. Bush is the man that pushed for CAFTA. Bush gets whatever he wants. If he can't get it, he does it. And I don't see why the same radar screen isn't on him. And what I can't understand is when Ron Paul, which I prompted people for in every which way that I could, that, when he does the stop funds to UNESCO to the Commerce State Justice Bill, let's all get on it. Let's all get our Congress called on this. But, I don't know why the groups like the Paragon Foundation aren't, behind that. But you know what? He couldn't even get it out of committee because Mr. Bush is king. And we allowed him to be king because people like Henry Land said that we need to vote for Bush. And I don't quite understand, you know, this situation. Keep us down. And
Time out. What do you think we would have had if he had Al Gore as president?
I don't want Al Gore. I'm talking about
President Bush was running against Al Gore. That's why Henry Land said vote for Bush. It's better than voting for Gore.
Okay.
We've had one of two evils, one of the other. They've all been the same. They all play on the same side. They all implement the UN system, listeners.
So what's the difference?
There is no difference.
Right. So why worry about putting Bush in? He'll put us under UNESCO, and the cover's done for you.
What difference does it make at this point? We'll get Bush out, and who's going to come in his place?
We could have voted for Peruka. He wasn't even listening to it, but I would like
Peruka
to say
will never get the publicity that he needs because Peruka is on the right page of understanding the big picture in the place.
Right, let's see if people, you already said FTA is going to pass. So you already had that fatalistic attitude.
Well, you betcha, because GATT was formed in 1947. We're a vassal state of the UN system. Do you understand that the Secretary of Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF? Does anybody know that? Does anybody know that, Regina?
Does your
representative Peruka know that?
No, but what good does it do to me to tell my people in my community, don't take the grants, you need the money, because, you know, you might get smart.
Thank you for your call, Regina. I appreciate it. This is a very controversial broadcast, very interesting. It's Agenda 21, listeners. Thank you, Ray, for being with us.
My pleasure, anytime.
Wonderful. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
That's it for today, listeners. Thank you.